Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, what's your least favorite planet? Mine's the Suns. It's the Hoops and Hepavisons podcast. I'm your host, Don Denham. You can find me on Twitter at Don _Denham. With me, as always, is my fellow Mavs fan for life, my bro host for life, Ruben Tomas. Starting you off with a little bit of Will Ferrell doing Harry Carey.
That's what I was like, what the fuck? It sounded like Will Ferrell, Harry Carey, and then like a really bad like Southern accent.
that actually, yeah, I think that pretty much sums up my voice and my entire persona is a Southern Harry Carey. Hi, Ruben.
It's anyway. So, man, I'm surprised you went with the Suns. It's a couple days since that game. We could have went with the Niners for whatever reason. We could have.
Sure. Yeah. No. There's been plenty of Dallas sports disappointment to share. Yeah. I mean, why not? Let's just get this handfuls of garbage. You know, you don't pick it out one piece at a time. Just go for handfuls. You know. Yeah. I mean, I think it was very clear the Cowboys were a very good bad team, and they were good at beating up bad teams. But then whenever you face a team that makes less mistakes than the New York Giants, we don't do too well. So moving on, the Mavericks have actually been playing well, all things considered. I think like losing a, you know, anything within 10 points to me is a close game. The Phoenix game was pretty close through most of it. You know, it's competitive. They're arguably one of the top three teams in the league. So I wasn't too... I'm never bummed about those losses. You know, that's just not the same as losing, you know, almost 30 points to the Knicks, you know?
Yeah. You know, and I mean, like, to even backtrack, I mean, the two games we played before this week, Oklahoma City and Toronto, were two games that we absolutely needed to win because we all knew we were playing the Suns, who have just had our number for the last, like, what, three, 4 years? So... Mm-hmm.
Well, I actually don't like close wins against teams that I don't think are very good, and that's how true. I feel about Toronto and OKC. Toronto's got some players like Greta Van Fleet was exactly who I was thinking of, but that's a band. Fred Van Fleet is playing out of his mind. Like really, since Lowry left, he's actually really kind of stepped in as being a damn, like he should be an all-star this year, but it's going to be hard for him to get any, you know.
It's
a load of East this year is what I'm getting at.
It's always, you know, it's always every year. Like there's always debates on who should not and who should be in the all-star game. And I hope Fred, he deserves it, but I don't know if he'll get in there.
Probably a bench spot, I would imagine. He's just playing he's playing out of his mind, especially this past weeks or so. So, no real disrespect to the Raptors. The Thunder, though, it's just like Shai Gilgeous is great, and Giddy is an interesting, weird player. But like
Dort,
Dort. Dortal Combat. He is, one of my favorite role players, and I would love to see him in a Mavericks uniform. But I still don't have any respect for OKC because like they're it's mainly out of like. They're just stockpiling assets without, I mean, like, all right, cool. So you're going to be teaching a lot of good young guys how to lose. Like, I don't know. I'm pulling for them to turn the corner, but also, I don't know. I think that franchise, you know, you're pretty much they're pissing away, us not having the Seattle Supersonics. So I'll always kind of have a reason to just not like OKC. Also, yeah. I don't think anything in Oklahoma should ever be happy. So I don't like anything in that state. So Sooners fans, sorry.
I, I do have friends from over there, and it doesn't seem like to be a good time.
Man, I lived in Sherman, Texas, and you could smell Oklahoma from there.
Like, that might as well be Oklahoma, dude.
It's just barely Texas, and it's hardly sovereign land. It is a lawless country state of meth.
So we almost gave away the Oklahoma City game, which was
that's kind of what I was getting at.
Yeah, we just we were kind of pissing away at the end, and it's just like it's mm-hmm. that's kind of what we do. Like, I feel like we I feel like we either start real bad and then pick it up, or start really good and then lose slack at the end. And it's like, bro,
right? we kind of play down to our competition sometimes. But conversely, actually, you know what's kind of cool? I'm sorry, I'm just looking at box scores right now. You know, the loss against the Knicks was us 85-108, and then the following game against the Grizzlies, we were 112-85. So we went from scoring 85 to keeping a team 285 back to back. That probably just kind of shows how wildly inconsistent we've been, because no one will say the Knicks are in the same stratosphere as the Grizzlies right now.
No.
So. Which we're facing tonight, so we'll see how that goes.
We're recording this a couple hours before, so mm-hmm. actually the morning of. So
yes, yeah, tonight.
But yeah, I mean, again, Grizzlies and going to the Oklahoma City game. Luka had a terrible fucking shooting night. Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. 4-17 is not pretty.
How many of those were step back threes?
He did take 6 threes and hit none of them. So, but he did go 12 for 14 from the line, which is phenomenal.
Well, that's that's progress in a place where he's not had a lot of success. I mean, comparatively, I suppose. Yeah, I think also I am so spoiled with consistent free throw shooting, thanks to Dirk and to Steve Nash. Yeah. I just always felt like, oh, yeah, guys should regularly be able to hit 90% from free throws.
And it's like, well, actually, going to the next game, obviously the Raptors, a better team, currently, I think hovering around 500,
clever Luka, girls.
Luka going for 41 points for Dirk, mm-hmm. 14 yep. rebounds, 7 assists, bro. That's a good game.
For Dirk,
literally 41, 14 is his was Olympic number, and I guess 7 times 2 is 14. So whatever.
Well that's numerology. I'm sure I'm probably preaching to the choir. You know why Dirk was 41?
Because what's his name wouldn't give it up, right?
No, so he wanted 14 originally. And someone, because that's what Charles Barkley wore on the Dream Team. And so then Dirk's like, whatever, 41, just flip it.
Whatever.
It's because that's now, it's like, it's his trademark. It's a kind of a weird number, but it's awesome.
I'm saying we have two guys in our history that have weird numbers, Luka and Dirk. Just who the fuck wears 77 in the NBA?
Totally. Yeah. That is.
Good game. Tim Hardaway Jr., as much as we give him shit for, went 7-for-10 for this game, which is really nice. Mm-hmm. 2-for-5 from 3, so that's good. And then, of course, the last game that we played this week was the Suns. Mm-hmm. And we always play them close, and for some reason, Suns fans are very, very chirpy on Twitter.
No, I've talked to them. They are.
Yeah.
In all fairness, they lit... They live in a space that is closest to what the sun feels like. So they're not a very happy crowd. And they also root for the Arizona Cardinals. So there's just, there's a lot of pent up anger there. I'll talk shit to Phoenix people all day. Though the one time I was in Phoenix, I had a great time at a sports bar that was doing karaoke. And it was the weirdest thing. They had a wireless microphone. They didn't have a stage. They just had wireless microphones that they would just walk around and just hand to people at their table. So you just sit down and sing. It's
okay.
It was one of the funniest, weirdest, best moments ever. There was two older gentlemen that were singing old Motown hits, and like it was like sitting across from Marvin Gaye. These guys were awesome. They were so freaking good. And so I mean I'm all about that old Motown stuff too. So we were singing back and forth. Like I was doing like Jackson 5 and Stevie Wonder, and they were hitting me with like Luther Vandross and Al Green. Dude, it was a good time. Awesome. So as much shit as I'm giving Phoenix right now, I had a really awesome time and a cool memory from there, considering I spent a single night. Yeah, no sportswear. That's not what we're talking about.
No, we're talking about the sports.
Yes.
Where things are very cutthroat and everything.
Where things matter. Yes.
I mean, you know, again, we just like lost steam at the end. Like it just happens. Like I think I think literally we scored like 3-4 points in the last like 5 minutes, which is not going to do it, especially against a team that employs Chris Paul. Like,
He's just the perfect person to capitalize on any poor mistake.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So, I mean, that, you know, that's a game that, you know, we can just kind of throw away. Like, again, they're 35-9. Like, dude, they haven't lost a lot of games this year. It's fine. You know, more than likely they'll probably end up meeting Golden State in the final, you know, the conference finals. It's fine. Whatever.
Is Ayton hurt? Is that right?
I think he is. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I don't think it's like a COVID thing. I think he's actually just hurt. So
okay, yeah, because I was just like, that's a lot of minutes by Bismack Biyombo. What the hell is happening?
Yeah, Bismack Biyombo fucking like took us to town for a little bit, and I was like, this is not good.
Hasn't he kind of always, like, even when he played in Charlotte, he always kind of gave us some fits, or
he was always that guy, like, just like, yeah, just the type of big he is, yeah,
just a weird maverick killer. Like, I mean, not you know, I mean, he had 9 points, 4 rebounds. It's not like the dude was, you know, dominating, but yeah, it's just a weird person that just consistently has success against us.
I know for a fact those 2 offensive rebounds were very frustrating, because I remember watching him be like, dude, like, the ball's right there, grab it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is what it is. So
anytime I hear Bismack Biyombo, I just kind of want to start salsa dancing. Bismack Biyombo, bump, 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 bump.
I think of the Kendrick Lamar song.
I don't know what song you're referring to.
I can't remember on top of my head right now, but like, I know in my, I'm not going to say it, but
okay. Got it.
But yeah. but yeah. I mean, again, like looking at the stat sheets for this game, like, and I get like a lot of it, like it's through stat sheets, 'cause that's all we kind of look at really. we do watch the games though. I do will tell you that it was very frustrating for me.
I finally like forked over League Pass. I'm like, if I'm going to be on the podcast ever, I should probably watch a couple of games.
Yeah, $50 is not that bad.
It's like, really not. For the rest of the season, it's actually pretty. Yeah. Like, it's pretty decent. Like,
do you get playoffs? Do you know?
I don't know. I would imagine so. It says, yeah, I think it says until like the off season, or I think it says.
Oh, sweet. After the
fight. So, that's nice. And also, like, I looked at it. I'm just like, am I paying for like the actual season, or am I going to be like screwed out of like 9 NBA TV games or whatever? And thankfully, I don't think we have any of those left on the schedule, which is actually kind of nice.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think all we have are just like, yeah,
TNT and Bally.
Yeah. So I think we'll be good. I think maybe a few on ESPN, maybe. I'm not so sure. Yeah. But yeah, those games were, you know, good games. 3 games, you know, that came up this week. I'm trying to look ahead of next week, see what we got. Let me see Mavs schedule coming up.
We got Memphis, Golden today. State, Portland, and Indiana.
Oh man, we do our like little Western Conference tour, huh? Because we have Warriors and Blazers, and they're both at 9 o'clock. That's great.
Oh yeah, so we're at we have a back to back for Golden State and Portland, which isn't really that bad, but we have
I feel like for the Blazers game, we might either, I can definitely see us like resting some guys or like limiting minutes on some guys. I can see like Luke and KP not playing more than a certain amount of minutes for that game, just because it's the Blazers. Oh, yeah. And no offense to them, they've been terrible this year. So
that's a team that's just dead in the water, and it looks to me like firing Terry Stotts wasn't really going to be the thing that fixed that. One could also argue, just like, what does Billups really do?
Let's look at we have 4 games. What do you think our record's gonna be for this week?
I would say, like, I mean, like, we've proven that we've beat Memphis before, so that means we're gonna lose. I think the Pacers aren't doing all that great, and there's kind of a, I don't know, I like the return of Rick Carlisle. This is a, that's just a very fun game. I'll be watching that like very, very closely.
Yeah,
he's going to just have Miles Turner and Sabonis both have, you know, 48 minutes each. That's the max that you can do on a, wait, 12? Yes. Yeah. So I was just like, unless they go into overtime, then they'll play 56 minutes. I mean, we should definitely beat Blazers. Warriors are still red hot. And like, I don't think we match up well with them. Like, they are a very quick, shifty team.
Yeah.
And, you know, with Clay back and everything, which is just good for basketball, but just not good for our hearts.
No, not good for that Tuesday.
Yeah, that's his issue. Yeah. So I'd say if we split this 2-2, I'm pretty happy. The, you know, just kind of managing expectations here. But, you know, it's weird. It's like the Mavericks are capable of beating all these. It's just really dependent on Luka's shot choices and just like how careless he is with the ball. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes he falls in love with the flashy pass that sometimes it doesn't actually like set up anything. It's just kind of showing like, I don't know. It's almost like he gets bored. So he just does a lot of, you know, unadvised, flashy passes, moves, shots that, you know, most humans wouldn't attempt. Yeah. And that's the thing is just like when, you know, he's already really good, you know, he's already, that, you know, that all-star tier, he's, you know, three years into the league, 4 years, this is his fourth year. Yes. And he's doing a good thing. I think it's just more just when you realize when the guys like take that next step up, it's not so much that they just get better at what they currently do. It's just more, they just manage the mistakes they make, you know, like, yes. Okay, I only take certain shots from this thing. I don't force this thing. And there's a lot of times that I'm like, Luka's forcing this and it's not working. And then he's getting pissed off and then chirping at the reps. And then it just kind of like disintegrates from there. You know, his box score is always fairly consistent, but that's not like, it's the three less jacked threes that don't need to happen, you know? And those, you know, those three extra possessions is like, that's the difference over the course of the amount of time that translate to more close wins than close losses. You know,
yeah,
that's kind of like, yeah, that's how I look at Chris Paul, for instance. Like, you know, he's always been pretty damn great, but like one of the things that I really love about him is like he doesn't make a whole lot of mistakes. You can say whatever you will about him, he rarely makes like careless mistakes. Like that dude is just locked in whenever he's playing, and that's just like that's that next level I really want to see Luka tap into. And until he does, we're going to kind of probably stay in the same vein of, you know, top middle Western Conference team, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I mean, you know, it is what it is, but, mm-hmm. That's kind of all we need to talk about this week, I guess. I mean, nothing really exciting has happened beyond that, I think. Some trade stuff here, trade rumors, but nothing really solidified. It's whatever.
This has been like one of, like, for so many teams that are doing so poorly, there's been so little movement
in, like, at all, right?
Right. And part of it I know is like, you know, it's COVID stuff, and like, you know, there's a lot of teams that are like, you know, a third G leaguers or 10-day contracts or whatever. So a lot of teams don't even really know what they have. But like, I don't know. Is this going to be I would imagine there should be some trade deadline. Like, there should be like a big fun trade deadline this year. But I think there's also a lot of people that are just under a lot of, you know, bad contracts. I don't really know what to do with them.
Yeah.
What if Westbrook gets traded to Houston? Like, traded back.
I saw that. It was the John Wall of Westbrook swap.
Mm-hmm.
That would be fucking hilarious.
Who says no?
I don't know. Because
I know Vogel wants to send Westbrook into the sun. Like,
yeah, he's fuck yeah. I'm sure LeBron will send Westbrook to the sun at this point. Yeah, I have no idea.
I think LeBron needs to probably, you know, realize that there are people better at talent evaluation than he is, than him just picking up his favorite people of the last decade.
You know, like those, to be fair, though, a lot of those guys would have been really good about like 5 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, man. The LAARP Lakers are doing great. Right.
I don't know. I think I'd like for it to happen just because I think like Twitter would be fun that day.
Sure.
But, and obviously like I would want to watch those teams like play a couple of times just because like, it's just hilarious to see like that trade happen. It's like Westbrook going back to Houston again, uh-huh. You know, with obviously a worse roster, like, and everything, you know. Uh-huh. I don't know, man. That'd be hilarious. But let's go to get some questions, man.
Let's go for it.
Let's go. All right. Our first question comes from Bibbs of Bibbs Corner.
Oh, Bibbs.
Of the Mavs Outsiders, which is a great podcast. I'll also listen to them as well.
Yes. Bibbs is consistently one of my favorite Mavs people. And
he's fucking great.
He does throw some hot takes out there, but he supports it with logic, and that's rare in Twitter. Yes.
Yeah. So he says, ask Don what movies he wants to come on my pod and talk about. He pitched an idea of hitting some of the classics, so I need my homework assignments.
Oh, okay, great. I'm so happy he asked this on air. I would like to do either. I would love to do a deep dive on Edgar Wright movies, specifically, you know, Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, which I can quote those backwards and forwards. But I would also be interested in either. These are. I'm just going to throw two more out there. We could do all of them. But I've wanted to do a deep dive on Inglourious Basterds and talk about it, like, just in depth and everything about it that makes it great. Or Evil Dead. Or Evil Dead too.
Yes.
Yeah. So like we can go for like silly satirical fun English comedies, action movies. Or we can go complete splatterfest of 80s. Evil Dead 2. Well, Evil Dead 2 specifically. Evil Dead 1. Evil Dead 1 is great. It's just, it's a student film. You know, they didn't have any budget. And then Evil Dead 2 is like, it's just Evil Dead 1 with a budget. And it's great. But also Inglourious Basterds to this day, I think is still Tarantino's best film. So I will let you choose.
I agree, actually. Like, I totally agree with you on that one.
Absolutely. So that would be, those would be my picks, Bibbs. You tell me, and I will do more deep dives and do a rewatch and get you, let's talk film. Talk film and hoops. I love this idea.
I like it. Let's see. Nick asks, he's been on a Mavs Twitter hiatus for about a month, so he apologizes. Mm-hmm. People ask this. I don't think anyone's asked this yet. What would our league record be with our current Mavs defense and pre-COVID Mavs offense?
Oh, God. Well, I mean, let's see. Our record now is 26-20. I mean, I don't know if that's what beats some of the teams we've lost against. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, our defense has been fine. But, like, yeah, had we, you know, kept a better offense... I mean, you would imagine it at least translate to what, two or three more wins. But that what's funny, if we had three more wins, that actually I think we'd actually still be the same in the standings. It's actually kind of weird. Like I'm reading that wrong. No. Because
I'm
like between
some of our losses, and I'm like, there's some losses where I'm like, against the Timberwolves, I think we probably won.
Sure.
Know, that shitty game against the Lakers, we probably could have won.
Yes.
You know.
But like a lot of those, like kind of all these teams have been underproducing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that's what gives us a win against Phoenix. I don't know if that's what gives us a win against Utah. You know, all the teams that we have lost against that are ahead of us in the standings are all pretty far ahead of us. It is really interesting though. Like it's like the top four teams are within 6 games of each other, and then like that next step is 10 games. Like it's a pretty staunch difference.
The West is weird this year.
Real weird.
Let's see. Our friend Mavrello asked us the question.
Did he?
What is the best stat?
The win
record.
The Vibe Rat.
The Vibe Rat, damn, Squish is not on today. Son of a bitch. honestly, the ones that I do like to look at a lot is just for whatever reason is the blocks stat. Ooh. Like blocks and steals, I just feel like it's so fascinating to me, like how they call them, you know, especially steals, you know, I'm just like, you know, like what constitutes a steal for who and like when does, you know, stuff like that.
So. Sure. Yeah. After a deflection. I will say, I think true shooting percentage is one of my favorites, just because it's not, you know, I like the accumulation of like, all right, this is your free throws, your threes and your twos all together. Like, what does that kind of gives you a cool, but kind of a better snapshot of what you're actually doing. The worst stat is plus minus, because none of like it's if you are doing nothing while other players are playing well, you look like you're really good. If you're doing something and you're with other players that are playing poorly, you look like you're the worst player in the league. So that would be that's my take on plus minus.
That is a good take though. Plus minus fucking sucks.
Yeah. Thank you, Matt Vrillo.
And then we got a follow up from our good friend Jeff Skin Wade. I'm hoping you're doing well, Skin.
Yeah, man. Skin, we're thinking of you.
Yeah. He asked, what's a good food to eat while looking at stats?
A good food to eat while looking at stats. You know what? I would say grapes. I think like that's like, you know, good individual, yeah, because we're just nitpicking here, you know, one at a time.
Well, right.
Right.
Okay, that's a great one.
Not too messy. Yeah. Yeah. Still healthy. I mean, like it's all sugar, but you know, it's got dietary fiber. It's good. You know, it's got water.
I would say, so like I saw this yesterday and I was like, a good food. So I wouldn't want anything that like is like a finger messy food. It's like nothing like wings or anything like that, because
wings would be problematic. Yeah. You get it all over your keyboard. Yeah.
Yeah. Or I'm like a keyboard on my phone. You know, I'm like, I don't want to look at like, you know, I don't want to be like having to, you know, constantly like wash my hands or whatever, you know. Grapes is a great one. Damn. I think like the Pringles.
Okay.
I think Pringles is a good one. You know, I just feel like, I don't know, man.
There could be some residual damage there. You know, I mean, getting your hand stuck in the tube because, you know, you just get a little overzealous.
That's a great one. I will say a good beer to have. Well,
yeah, let's talk more about our expertise here. Okay. We don't know much about food, but let's talk about beer. It's a velvet. Go ahead.
A good beer to have is Who's the Jefe from Roller Town. I love that fucking Hefeweizen so much.
Yeah, I'd pull over a big German for certain.
Absolutely.
Go to Roller Works, guys.
Please go to Roller Town.
Roller Town Beer Works. God damn it. Put it all together.
You're good. Yep. All right, let's see. Next question comes from Baba Yaga. Asks, what are your thoughts on the decreased Frank minutes? And if you think he should be getting more, who should be losing their minutes for him?
I think he needs to take all of Trey Brooks' minutes. That's my take. I think he at least adds something defensively, and he's been like in his small minutes that he has gotten. I think, you know, they haven't been a disaster. He's been, you know, as opposed to Trey Burke, where it's just like, all right, well, he's going to either shoot us in or out of this game. I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of faith in Trey.
I agree. I think he should be getting more minutes. I don't know why he's not. It seems like the rotations are pretty... They were more fluid earlier in the season, but it seems like they've gotten pretty rigid since then. I don't know what happened where he like fell out of the rotation. Maybe something that happened at... I don't know. Like
practice
or something. I don't know. Well, they haven't practiced in a month to either, so I don't know. Like, until recently. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But yeah, I do agree. Like, Trey should probably be getting less minutes. Maybe even like Sterling Brown, kind of depending on what he's doing. He's been all right recently, but he's still kind of like, I would still probably prefer Frank over him.
Well, to piggyback off of Bibbs had a great line recently. I've seen all I need to see of Shannon Brown, play Josh Green instead. It's just like any time that we would be playing Shannon Brown, like if it's not injury, it's like Josh Green should be playing. We should be developing Sterling Brown? That guy. Sorry, Sterling Brown. Sorry, I said
like
Channing Brown.
Shane Brown's in play.
I
was like, wait.
Sterling Brown, yeah.
You're good. I was just like, wait.
It's early.
Yeah. It is early. Yeah, we usually record later in the day, actually. So this is like...
Yeah. Start your morning off with two idiots that can't remember names.
Might explain why Squish isn't on yet. But
Probably.
Let's see. Next question comes from Mavs Latvia. How many medals will USA take home from the Winter Olympics? which I didn't realize was going on until I saw something yesterday while the football game was on.
Yeah, like, oh. It starts in February. We still got some time. I don't know, but I am pulling for the USA curling team to bring home the gold.
The curling team.
Dude, I love that goddamn sport. It is so great. It's just like, seeing like a fat dude that looks like he would like own a bowling alley, like do like a sliding pigeon pose on ice as he's cascading and, gently, sliding a stone towards basically a shuffleboard thing. But like the coolest thing about curling, aside from just the entire sport as a, it's when they're trying to figure out who's closest from the center. So they have like this cool, little metal cylinder that pops out the center that has a metal like string, like a protractor basically. And it kind of like, they can circle around and actually measure who is actually closest to the center. I'm like, that's something I wish we had in an actual shuffleboard. And I am doing what Squish does anytime someone mentions wrestling.
Yeah.
But I'm doing it for curling.
I'm like, oh shit. Like, oh my God. Jesus.
Yeah, and pulling for Sean White. It sounds like this is kind of like his swan song. You know, this might be his last Olympics.
Yeah, I didn't realize. I was like, oh shit. Like, it sounds like it from everything I've been like watching. I've seen like,
What could he do that hasn't been done? You know what I mean? Like, it's,
he did at this point, just like,
yeah. It's well, like it was great. I remember watching, I want to say it was the 08 or 2010. I can't remember. It's one of the first times that he was on, he did the half pipe, whatever. And what was interesting was like, I remember watching all the contestants here. They did their runs. Like, oh wow, that was really impressive. And then you see Sean White go out there and he's about 10 feet higher on the pipe than anybody else. It was just such a such a drastic difference of like, yeah, that guy got tens because he's just so much better at snowboarding than everybody else. Just like light years above.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure how many medals the USA brings. I'm going to try to catch some of it though.
Sure. You know?
I guess we'll see. Next question comes from Blake. Mm-hmm. This is a great one. This is topical for what happened last week with the Cowboys. Okay. Would the equivalent of the Cowboys not using curtains and blinding their players be leaving a panel of wood open on the Mavs court and exposing the ice underneath? It's all about looking good on TV, right? I'm even thinking just putting like a fucking like super bright light behind the posts.
Sure. Yeah.
On both sides, and just like just fucking brightish, or like a super bright like flashing light. You know,
just put a floodlight behind the backboard, you know, and just, you know, this reminds me whenever I would play like in my driveway, and like the only thing that we had was just like the porch light to keep it lit. So like your depth perception's all off. And
like, I'm saying, like, I do like the idea of like just having just a single thing of ice just like exposed for no reason.
That is very good and very I think you hit the nail on the head there. Properly executed.
Let's see. Next question comes from Juan, one of our contributors. Do you think that soccer would benefit from having timeouts like basketball? Also, do you think team basketball would benefit from having a table decided by points like soccer? So for those of you who don't know, and I'm sure most, I feel like a lot of people who watch basketball also watch soccer in some capacity, but in football, soccer, they have no timeouts and they just add on time at the end of the game, right? Mm. So the games move a lot faster, which I really appreciate. Like, you know, games are normally done within an hour and a half, like, you know, about hour and 45 usually. Mm-hmm. And then also in soccer, they have a table. So like points that decide like who is the champion of like that season, like in Premier League, how it is. Mm-hmm. For the most part, it's usually how it is. I know like in MLS, it's like the points determine like who makes the playoffs, which is kind of cool.
It's kind of a hybrid of both systems.
Yeah. I would not do timeouts for soccer. I would fucking hate that. That's the whole reason why I watch soccer, is because there's like virtually no ads. There's ads like on the pitch and like on the jerseys and stuff, but never like, usually you'll never see like, unless it's halftime or whatever, you know, at the half, like you'll never see like, here's a product, here's a, you know, stuff like that. So
what makes, the only thing that makes the NFL just sometimes like the most it's an experiment in psychological warfare. How many goddamn Liberty Mutual commercials?
Holy shit.
And they're
shit.
All, and right now it seems like there was an era of advertising where there was, it was just kind of an out weird competition, you know, what like the berries and cream Starburst, right? Or Skittles, one of the two, you know, like just as weird as you can go, the better. Or like, now it's like, can we get the cringiest thing that you will just happen to remember? I'm like, why do you have such a, like, I have such a negative association with all these companies that I will never buy anything from them. Like, I will never, and it's all, weirdly all insurance companies. It's State Farm, Progressive, there's Liberty a lot, Mutual, Geico sucks. Like, there's so, it's like, that's, got it. And you have to see the same commercial. Like, I wonder how many times you see the same commercial in a half of football. You know, not even the whole game.
So if you ever go to the NFL subreddit on Reddit, if you go to the game, like the post game threads, there's a couple guys on there who will literally, like, all they do are count the number of ads and from which company. So you can go back and like look at like, oh, like Liberty Mutual had like 5 ads, you know, or like, you know, like there was like this many local ad, you know, where a local spot for ads, you know, stuff like that. I'm like, that's insane. Like,
and can we talk about Applebee's trying to act like they're a local goddamn bar by using the Cheers logo or the Cheers theme song? And they're just like, hey, we're your neighborhood Applebee's. I'm like, cool. There's a gas station that's near me that I'm sure someone has pissed at before. That doesn't make, like, it's local in the sense that it's close, but it's not a small business. Like, I don't know.
We're off tangent a lot today.
Absolutely. No. The problem with gas stations is, sorry.
It's very early.
Yeah.
One second question about, you know, the table being decided by points. Yeah. I honestly, that'd be kind of cool, actually. I wouldn't be too opposed to it. You know, like,
the only I think the way that the table system works in soccer is also as well as the deregulation, or what's it called? Relegation. I think that works better, you know, like having that back threat of like, hey, not only are the most points of the people that win the championship, but also those who have the least point, you may or may not be in this bracket anymore. Like, I think that really puts a fire under some teams' asses, and I think that's awesome. You know.
Houston going to the G League would be fucking hilarious.
Oh, I mean, let's face, Orlando's next. Like Orlando's like man.
They probably should have been there for a while. But let's see. Mavs sweeper, Mavs brew masks. I like this question. Should a coach get another coach's challenge in the same game when he or she makes a successful challenge?
Oh, I like that. You get to take your challenge away.
I say yes. That'd be awesome. Especially if it's like,
I'd say no, because that would probably encourage more challenges and consequently encourage more stoppage of play over whether or not somebody was like, you know, was that a three or not? Or, well, that's one. Or like whether or not something was a foul, or like, we don't need more stoppage. That's the only thing I don't like. Like, I like that idea by itself, but I think like in execution, it would probably just lead to more coaches trying to challenge aggressively.
I like it, but the only caveat I would add is that you can only do this in the last like minute if it's a very close game, like within 5 points. You know, where it's like, if you really want to use it, dude, like use it. But you can only be used right here, right now.
Have we used a coach's challenge this year? Like, has Kid done that?
We've used a few, not as much as I didn't feel like as much as Rick did last year. But
yeah, I felt like Rick was using that very much, like
very liberally. It feels like
yes. Yeah.
Let's see. Next question comes from, and I love this guy's current display name, Aaron Frogers.
Aaron Frogers, that's good.
I fucking love it.
I heard a good one. Someone in my fantasy football league named him COVID Toe Rogan.
I've heard Throw Rogan, which is hilarious. That's a great one. Anyway, so he asks, what would make y'all happier, a Luka MVP or Mavs getting to the second round? Mavs getting to the second round.
Same. Like, yeah, I think second round. Because, I mean, ultimately, if we're starting to get into those playoff situations, then I think MVP is just a matter of when as a matter of if.
Yeah. And also, I think Luke would also appreciate the second round instead of the MVP. I don't think he really gives a shit.
Sure.
Yeah. He's been winning for a long time. He doesn't really give a fuck. Okay, Matt's asked, and I think this is a question is an add-on to Juan, but it says... what would you replace overtime with as a tiebreaker if you were the commissioner? So instead of overtime, what would you make them do to see who wins?
Dunk contest. Trampolines.
Oh, yeah.
Trampolines can be used.
Dunk contest, and you have to pick like three judges from the, I don't know.
Yeah. So the judges all have to be masked, and they could all be wearing different. Oh, no. The mascots are the judges.
The masked judges? No.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And everyone's just like, oh, who, like, why did Champ give us a nine? That doesn't make sense. And he pulls off the mask. It's Dwayne. And, it turns it into more of a, carnival.
Yeah. Good one. I like that. Okay, see, Gabriel asks, if you have one phrase to say to Mark Cuban, what would you say?
I have one phrase to say
to Mark? One thing to say to him.
One thing to say to Mark Cuban. Can I just have $1 million? Like, you're not going to miss it. Like, you've got a lot of those. Like
that's a good one.
Yeah, just... to be honest, I'd still say thank you to him. Like I as much as there's been a lot of frustration among and I think rightful frustration with the Mavs franchise as a whole and how it's been ran, and the more we hear about behind the scenes stuff, it's not awesome. I will say that by Mark Cuban actually giving a shit about basketball and him actually kind of take the reins of the Mavericks franchise. The American Airlines Center is one of the few places that feel like home to me. So that's still his fault. So as much as I am frustrated with some of the, varying degrees of success or in failures that we've experienced as a franchise, I'm still pretty damn happy to be a Mavs fan. So
yeah,
I'd probably still in a more earnest way, I'd probably still say, hey, thanks for making the Mavs what they are.
I don't know. Let's see. What would I say to Mark? I'd probably ask why he didn't follow me on Twitter.
Not sure.
Hey, man. Yeah, let's start some shit. He also says that not a question, just a statement. Respect Mavs, man. I will not, Gabriel. With all due respect,
You are fantastic. I couldn't agree with this more. Might I suggest a good follow at Better Mavs Band?
Fuck that account. Anyway, let's see. Tyler asks, if you could change one NBA rule, what would that rule be? So just one. It's got to be the fucking transition foul thing. I hate that shit.
Yeah, that's so fucking annoying. That's pretty good. What's one rule that always gets me? I will say the less calls on the offensive fouls have been awesome, or less calls or that favor the offensive player where the offensive player creates the contact. Like that's the Trae Young, James Harden shot. And let's face it, Luka was very much doing that shit too. And yes, they're not calling that anymore. And that's really, I'm all for it.
I will say I also like the FIBA rule about goaltending. like goaltending doesn't exist.
So, oh yeah, right.
That might be fun too. So
Gobert is just swatting threes out of the hole. It's great.
Fucking great.
It just turns it all into NBA Jam.
Actually, it would be kind of fun. I would like to see like a season of that, just to see what would happen, like what the stats would look like afterwards.
It's it always just kind of surprises me, like just how athletic some of these guys are. Whenever there is a shot, you know, it's like whenever like it's a dead ball and a guy takes a shot and then a guy like doesn't make sure it doesn't go in.
Yeah,
you know, that's kind of a Kevin Garnett thing. He was just like, anytime someone took a shot in a dead ball, he would goaltend it, like as of like a wee means of like trying to psych out the opponent. I don't know how effective it was, but it's just kind of cool to see, like, oh wow, that guy could just snatch that ball out of the air.
And it looks like someone joined late.
Is that Squish 41's music? By God!
Do I have music?
If I had a glass near me, I would have thrown it and
broke it. Please break a glass when I need the situation.
That is how, yeah, I just get I get that excited and upset, I just start breaking things.
Squish, it sounds like you're coming in from like space or something.
Yeah.
I tried to tell you.
I know, but I think it's just hilarious.
Like, yeah, we shot Squish into orbit and just to see what would happen. How's it looking up there?
There's not a lot of oxygen, I've got to be honest. And
we'll get you on the bob swing.
Otherwise, it's chill. There's actually a Chipotle out here. It's kind of bizarre.
Oh man, fucking Elon Musk!
Elon Musk put a Chipotle in orbit, so
just so he could have some place to go. Yeah,
kind of been kicking it there and dodging satellite debris.
It's like that movie Gravity, which should have been called I Can't Quite Reach That.
I still haven't seen that one.
It's not good. It's
not good.
I mean, it won an Oscar. No thanks.
Why not watch Gravity when Interstellar exists?
Right. Yeah. I'd much rather watch McConaughey happy cry for 2 minutes straight than watch Sandra Bullock barely grasp onto something. Just watch Armageddon, guys. It's a much better movie.
That's a documentary.
Yeah.
Let's see. Next question comes from Florentino. Not really a question, more of a demand, it seems like. We should be trying to get Malachi Flynn, who I know nothing about. So
I was going to say, why?
I don't know. I've heard his name come up a few times, actually, from like random people. And I don't know. Like, oh, is he the Raptors kid? One of the Raptors guys?
What are we using?
Let's see, he's a point guard, 6'1", 175 pounds.
I think we already have Jalen Brunson, thank you. I don't think we need
this year, 2.8 points, 1 total rebound, 0.9 assists.
Do you? Also, Armageddon, probably I would argue the best Michael Bay film.
I gotta look at his catalog. But that, yeah. Yeah, Malachi Flynn, I'm not so sure. We'll see.
It's definitely not a good Malachi Flynn movie.
Let's see. Next question comes from Zekrom. This might be more for you, Don. Okay. Thoughts on Packers fans being one and done after all that trolling of the Cowboys they did?
Packers fans across the board are the most obnoxious fan base that aren't the Philadelphia Eagles. Because Philly fans, man, did not realize just how much they... we actually have a good buddy of mine is an Eagles fan, Edgar Long, and we even make fun of how ridiculous Philly is. We have fun quotes that like, you know, fly, batteries, fly, grease the poles.
Wow.
Do you know about the pole greasing thing?
Yes, I do. God, that's so fucking dumb. Jesus.
Philly's about to be a real madhouse. Everyone grease the pole.
So bad.
But that being said, there's nothing about like the Midwestern, like the Packers fans that I think they've also, they've been so spoiled to go from, you know, Favre to Aaron Rodgers. And for like the, basically the past like 2.5 decades have had a really competitive team. They haven't had like, it's funny because like, even though the Cowboys fan base is similar to like the Yankees, you know, as far as just like national fan base, it's hard to call us fair weather because we're not very good, you know, and haven't been that good. It's like, why would I select to, like, it's not like I'm here because I'm just enjoying this embarrassment of riches. It's really just a rich of embarrassment. but yeah, so Packers fans, you know, Dez caught it, and I've got nothing nice to say about Green Bay, so I'm gonna just let them freeze with their cheese curds up in Lambeau.
I wanted to add, can y'all hear me?
Yes,
I can.
Yes.
Oh, cool. Grease the Poles is also the name of a lesser known bodybuilder competition in Poland.
No, I'm kicking you out. Fuck this. We're not doing this shit today. I'm fucking kicking you out of this fucking chat. Goodbye.
What's great is that it's a weightlifting competition, but then afterwards they're all greased up. They just shoot them down a chute like the Louvre.
All right, so moving on. God damn it! It's been a while since all three of us have been in the same virtual room together.
Love Poland.
Love Poland. Yes.
So for basketball pod, we get a lot of questions about just random sports. We've gotten NFL today. We've gotten soccer. We've gotten
curling.
We've gotten Olympic curling. Our next one is UFC because I guess there were some fights yesterday.
Human cockfighting,
which I did not watch. So, and I think the guy, I think, so Wilson asked this, and I think he asked this, while the fight was going on, and I was like, this is being recorded the next day. So, it's, Ngannou, Moreno versus, Figueiredo, which I guess were two fights that happened, and I looked them up, actually. So Ngannou ended up winning his pretty handily in the fifth round. And then, I don't know how to say his last name, the F. Figueiredo or whatever. I don't know.
Frito, whatever.
He ended up winning his match. And apparently someone else, Joe, also responded, was like, Moreno was robbed, which I have no idea. Like, I guess I need to rewatch those fights. But, I don't know. I don't really watch UFC usually. I actually prefer boxing.
Sure. So, yeah, but, you like a little bit more refinedness in your human concussion.
Yeah,
human displays. Fighting,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, human cockfights.
I don't know. I mean, like, it's certainly like the sport certainly cleaned up a bit, and it but I let's just go harder into it. The person that loses has to like watch a family member die. Like, let's just jump, like, let's just go full cruelty if we're gonna just keep making the sport happen. I am
very gladiator.
yeah. Or, you know what, why not just release a tiger in there? Let's see what happens. I want them to hurt the tiger. That's not fair. Yeah.
I will say that UFC fighters deserve a lot more money than what they're getting. Like,
no question. That's the other part of it too. It's like, hey, I mean, it's clear they love the sport. It is very hard. It is a very, like, it is a pure just a sheer testament to just very athletic people and tough people that are just, yeah, put through the meat grinder. But it's just like, at what cost to these guys? I mean, like, it's similar to the NFL where it's like, you know, hey, you are buying into just how brutal this sport is, but at least, you know, you're getting a couple million, you know, if you play long enough, you know, like, that's, you know, generation changing money, you know. But at UFC, it doesn't seem to really do that. And I forget the head guy at UFC, but he's just a real cock and a half, and don't like supporting his business whatsoever. Yeah, like I liked McGregor because he was a fun character, but like even still, I don't know. I lost interest pretty quickly.
I'll tell you. Let's see. Last question.
Great.
Comes from Mavs McGee asks, this is a tough one because I think this has been a conversation on the timeline for at least a week. You have to trade. You have to trade Jalen or Dorian. Who are you trading?
If I had to trade somebody, I would trade Jalen because I feel like you would get more for him. Dorian, I don't think has as much value considered. Well, I think Dorian's outplaying his current monetary value for what he does, since he guards so many different things, since, you know, he hits open shots. He's not a shot creator. But I think that if we're trading Jalen, there's more than likely we're getting a starter in return, as opposed to if we're trading Dodo, we're probably getting a maybe rotation or bench guy in return.
What do you got, Squish?
I think you get more of a bag for Jalen.
Sure.
You know that meme that I post where it's like the kid with the gun?
Yes.
That's how I feel about this.
Oh, the kid crying.
I'm like, fuck.
We're such diehard fans for just rotation guys.
It fucking makes me so mad. I'm like, dude, I love all these guys. God damn it.
I don't want to see Jalen go. I don't want to see either of them go. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
If I'm forced to move one of them. I feel like that package might get us somebody, you know, like Dodo and Jalen, but that's, you know, maybe I'm just more, maybe I'm more bought into them than the league is.
Yeah. I'm definitely, because it seems it's gotta be Jalen, like, you know, like, and I don't know, like, I feel like on Dorian's contract, like, it just makes more sense to keep him as well. Like, because I mean, obviously, like, the way it's structured is that the way Jalen's contract is structured is that he's gonna get more no matter what. If he if he becomes a free agent, so just makes way more sense for him to go. If that's the plan, if that's what we have to do, I'm hoping we somehow are able to keep both of those guys and trade away another couple guys that I'm not currently in love with.
I feel
like who?
I feel like that's probably what they're trying to do. It's like, oh God, though he took a pay cut, we did just pay Tim.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have to get rid of this shit. And naturally, he's just having a dog shit season.
I'm telling you, man. I think I told you all in the group chat. Like, just like I've had friends who, like, I've had Hawks fans and Knicks fans be like, "Yeah, he plays better during contract years." And I'm like, "Fuck!" Like,
it's true.
I thought he'd be different this year. Like, I thought it'd be different, but it wasn't.
He plays like a man that doesn't want to be traded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
during a contract year.
Yeah. So it's like, fuck.
So there's a part of him like, well, thank God he took a pay cut.
He did take a pay cut. Didn't, like, I think it was like the Pelicans, I think, offered him like a fucking bag, and he was like, "Nah, I'll go with the Mavs."
Yeah.
My God, I kind of wish he'd taken that at this
point. That made me feel good though at the time, because I was like, "Oh God, someone took a pay cut for us."
Well, at the time though, I was like, you know, Tim, if we had, you know, another person that took attention off of things, would be really good in the playoffs, because the whole problem was like the Clippers actually paid attention to him. The playoffs last year, and then he just, you know, he's Tim.
Yeah.
But when he's not focused on, he could be quite good. That's what I was thinking. And then this year it's just like, I'm just gonna throw up a bunch of bullshit. I swear to God, he has missed his first shot attempt off the bench in every fucking game this season.
I think he tweeted about that too, and I was like, fuck, I think you're right.
without fail. He comes in and brick. Yeah.
He's got to get that first one out of the way.
So as a surprise Christmas gift, my sister actually gifted me a Tim Hardaway Jr. signed basketball. Granted, she did not pay for this. This was one of those things where you click the QR code at the Mavs game, and then you're like entered into a drawing. She said the process of getting this ball was actually like really funny and kind of sketchy. It was like they were like going into like these back, like this warehouse, and like it was just like very serious, you know, show your ID and all this other stuff, and like, you know, prove why you're here and all this. And like they, you know, kind of like were shifty, look around, okay, here you go. And then they give her like a, you know, certificate of authenticity with it as well. It was just like, is this filled with drugs? Is this what this is? It's not. I've checked. But I do have a Dallas Maverick signed Tim Hardaway Jr. ball, and I'm very thankful for it. Thank you, Sarah. Shout out to my best little sister ever hooking me up with a Mavericks signed memorabilia.
That's very nice.
Yes.
I mean, it had to be Tim, though.
I was really pulling for a Marquise Chris ball, but, you know.
That actually would have been really cool. Like, a guy who's getting no minutes for some reason after signing a contract.
I mean, hey, listen, you know, he's probably celebrating, you know, maybe it's kind of a James Harden thing, you know, where he's just enjoying some outdoor recreation now that he's been paid.
Maybe. And,
yeah.
Maybe. I'm hoping he gets, maybe not tonight, but hoping he gets some burn this week because I think he deserves some.
Didn't he do well? That we guaranteed his contract and doesn't play.
Yeah, it's exactly. Fine. It's fine. It's definitely not a problem.
Well, those are all the questions this week. So thank you so much, guys, for asking questions.
And I hope Marquise plays tonight. He did pretty well last game.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, yeah. 85% from the field. I'll take it.
Right? Fuck.
Like, all right.
You got anything else to add, Squish, before we leave this recording?
No, I'm excited to kind of tune in to Grease the Poles.
Grease the Pole.
See which Polish bodybuilder.
That is not going to be. Flex, I got to think Flex of a good fucking. I got to think of a good name for this week.
Flex
I think,
is best.
I think, I meant to say luge, as in like luge racing, as far as like sending them down a chute, but I definitely said Louvre, which I'm pretty sure is the art museum.
It's where all Luca's game winners should go.
But even still, Grease the Poles being sent into the Louvre. We got a bunch of Greased Polish men running around an art museum.
These built Polish dudes love some art.
Can't catch me. Ah! Slipped right out of my hands.
That's a silly movie plot. Some greased up Polish bodybuilders steal stuff from the Louvre.
Oh my god. Okay.
And they can't adopt them because they're too
Michael Bay would direct it.
They're too slippery to catch them. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, it's called Slippery Van Vett. No, that's too German. No.
I was about to say, bro.
But the entire soundtrack should be Slippery When Wet, the Bond
slip,
movie album.
Slip. Slip through my hands.
Let's see. No, we should end the pod, but no, let's think of a name for this dumb movie idea we just came up with. Let's see. Wet Greased, Bandits.
Greased Frightening.
Damn, that's a
Count de Monte Cristo.
Man, fuck both of you.
Let's see. A night at the Muse Greasem.
It was a mistake. Bullying Squish to get on.
For Grease, Bobby Dodd.
How about Grease 3? And everyone thinks it's another sequel to the Grease movies. And they're just like, wait, why are there a bunch of Polish bodybuilders?
Just about Polish bodybuilders
stealing robbing, art from the Louvre.
Robbing museums right after a competition.
And with that, we're concluding today's podcast.
For Ruben, you can find him at Reddit Mavericks. For Squish, you can find him at Squish41. I've been Don Denham. You can find me at Don_Denham on Twitter. Please comment, talk about, tell us more about your fun hypothetical heist movie starring greased Polish bodybuilders. That's going to be the new purpose of this pod. This has been the Hoops and Hefeweizens podcast. Have a great week, Mavs fans.
I'm going to steal the Declaration of Independence.
Also, before we go, just a reminder, we have the Patreon.
Oh yes,
it's $1 just to hang out. We have our own Discord where we can just hang out. There's also potential watch parties that go on during games. We're literally doing every single game this year, cool. and I think this includes the All-Star game. If Luka gets it, which Luka will be getting in, includes the All-Star game, and it does include playoffs. So, just letting you guys know, if you guys need an alternative to watching the games, you know, that might be available. Anyway, I'll see you guys later. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Adios.